Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
From the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Hey, and welcome to a Thursday edition of the V Show on ESPN 680, 105.7. Tulio's behind the board. We get a producer sitting here in the studio.
Hi.
You're wherever the hell you are. I really have no way of knowing where you are. And this makes me a little nervous.
Why?
Because why would somebody have a pair of tweezers in here? What were they doing while they were on the air?
I don't know.
I mean, you're, first of all, if you're pulling pubes, you need to be doing that in the process.
Whoa. Why would you be doing that?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, but like, who does that to begin with?
Well, a person who has a pair of tweezers then has a trouble area. They want to.
I've never used those down there.
Smooth the infield.
I mean, yeah, but that's what a razor is for.
Well, I'm just saying. I don't know what they were for. Were they plucking eyebrows?
Maybe somebody had a splinter.
I don't know.
Is there anything more satisfying? Probably, yeah. Because, you know.
Pulling out a splinter?
Yeah. But that is really satisfying.
I'll go for 10 things off the top of my head.
Yeah. 5 of them involve a woman.
Hey, welcome. We're going to check. One of the things we'll start doing, maybe every other day, is look in and see what the portal picture says. Because that is obviously the. It is. Make no mistake about it, in this part of the country, especially. The portal. By the way, before we get into that, because people always, the Valvano show, that's what we do. Why was your significant other in a helicopter yesterday? What's she doing? She joined the Air National Guard?
No, I don't know. She went to, evidently there was like an air show or something like that where they show off
planes
helicopters and stuff. So it was like some hoity-toity event. And she went with a friend yesterday. I was working at the restaurant.
So you're working and she's out
gallivanting
there,
around.
Gallivanting in helicopters. As you used to call them when you were a baby, hepatopopters.
Hepatopopters. So, yeah. So,
wow, I don't know about that one.
But, you know, told her, you got to show a little leg and get a free helicopter.
Hey,
I'm just saying. I'm
not sure that's good advice either. So, anyway, let's go to transfer portal, shall we?
It's a good-looking helicopter she's in, though.
Well, let's hope. Well, it wasn't flying. She was just sitting in
it. Yeah, right.
Anything new today that I need that I was not aware of?
I'm trying to remember what players are. They are hosting a couple players today, Thursday. There will be a couple this weekend as well. I wrote down on a cheat sheet who was visiting.
I love this
visiting
website. I got to be honest. I don't know how accurate it is, but it's the easiest
my
to navigate.
My cheat sheet here? I had a cheat sheet.
The 24/7 sports transfer college portal is pretty absolutely simple to navigate. So I like it. Somebody may say, well, why are you listening? They don't know what they're talking about. Okay, well, if they don't, I'm just telling you. According to the site for Louisville, I mean, the players that are in the portal that haven't decided, Tyler Johnson, I guess, doesn't know yet. Manny Okafor doesn't know yet. The ones coming in you already know about, Rain Smith, James Scott, Trey White going to Illinois, Brandon Hulley Hatfield to NC State, Javon Hadley, that was one. I didn't even hear that name mentioned before he declared he was coming here, so that's pretty good, coming from Colorado Buffaloes, so he's making his way here. And, of course, Terrence Edwards making his way from James Madison, player of the year in that league. So that's four. They have enough for four, and if they play, Hersey, at least they can have a team.
Yeah, right.
They got five.
They have a team right
now.
They
have a team. Don't foul, fellas.
I know Jaden Quaintance is on campus today. I thought there were two other ones. I need to look at my cheat sheet. But
were you surprised that J.J. bolted? Went to the DePaul Demon Demon Deacons, I almost called them.
Blue Demons?
Blue Demons.
I'm very sad. I wanted to see him.
So he won't be interning here anymore.
Will not be interning here anymore. I think it's one of those things where that's, you know, a lot of the
I think
guys,
everybody just wanted a fresh start. Bless you.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that was probably for the best. But still, you miss him. Like,
why
one
would
of
it be for the best?
Well, because I feel like just like that, like a fresh start. Yeah. You don't have to have any stigma from your past, you know, the past tumultuous two seasons. Just get a complete fresh start.
Goodman said clean house.
So. Yeah, exactly. So
right now they're on pace to do that. There's nobody coming back except Hersey.
Right.
Sky went to UCLA, of course. Jovanovich undecided. Dennis Evans, he's not coming back here. I don't know what he's doing. Caleb Glenn also surprised me, his local guy.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that, him.
Plus, I don't know what he's going to do about getting his dog walk now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And Curtis Williams, don't know. Caron Davis still on this list, which amuses me to no end. That's
Bring him
hilarious.
Back. Bring him back.
Tanner wants Caron Davis back.
I don't think he does, to be honest. But let's see what else we got.
I would like to just see him play like 2 minutes, because I don't think we got to see him play at all.
Well, you'll be able to see him at... you know,
the YMCA
or El Paso Junior College, or wherever he's headed next. I don't know. That's not a. I just picked a random obscure place. That's why I said that. The Wildcats, DJ Wagner. Don't know what he's doing. Zvonimir Ivicic going to follow Cal to Arkansas.
Right.
Not surprising there. I'm surprised more guys aren't doing that, to be honest. Joey Hart hasn't made his mind up. Aaron Bradshaw is going to the Ohio State University. Adothiero, how does he say his first name? Without further ado. He doesn't know what he's doing. And that's the latest that they've got on that site in terms of people coming in and going. Why don't they have the kid listed who's coming from BYU? This is not up to date at all. You sons of guns. How is that? Why is that not on here?
Right? The Kyle kid. Chandler?
Yeah. Right?
Colin
Chandler, sorry.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, I wrote down Kyle on a paper and I'd always had it.
Chandler Bing.
Not even kidding. I when I first saw it and then I like talked about it on air, I think I called him Chandler Collins. So
yeah.
He could be a college president. He's got two names.
Colin Chandler.
Two first names. He could be Dr. Colin, Dr. Chandler. You wouldn't know how to refer to him. So they go. UCLA, the Bring McComb guy must be thrilled. Right now they're ranked number one in the BK Burger King transfer rankings. Illinois is second. Indiana's third. Well, that certainly upped their stock when they got
Ballo. Yeah.
He's a big fellow.
He is.
He's big and he plays basketball. That's my analysis on that. I had their game out in Arizona. I was surprised that team didn't go further. I really thought they were good. Really thought they had something special going there. Ole Miss fourth. Memphis fifth. Maryland's good for Mr. Willard there. And sixth, the Louisville Fighting Pat Kelsey's at seventh. Kansas is eighth. The Ohio State University is ninth. And the Georgetown Hoyas check in at number 10, according to 24/7. And that's what they do. They write stuff 24/7. They have guys at 3 in the morning. If you call their desk, guys there. Hello, 24/7 Sports.
Yeah, I'm writing.
Wow. You're like Discover Card. You got somebody there all the time.
I'm writing a story on Kabidi in India.
Kabidi, that's a, you know, I feel bad about this because now I've grown to love the game. We did, when I first got to town, I was doing the show on weekends at HAS. We did a poll. I don't know how we did it without email and stuff. I guess people just sent us their votes. Or maybe we kept track of it on the air. Who knows? It's irrelevant. But we did, what's the most bizarre sport in the world?
Yeah, that's up there.
And you know, what else was a fight? It was fight to the finish between luge. Mm-hmm. Because you can't even steer. You just sit there and hang on for dear life. That is like you
terrifying.
Dead people could compete in that. You just strap them to the sled, push them, and then you see who wins. Because that is bizarro.
Well, you got to lean and stuff, right?
You can't do anything. I mean, is luge the one of them? There's one skeleton or luge?
Skeleton's head first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one you can steer. You got your hands on the blades. Luge, man. You're just hanging on. You're saying the rosary as you're going down. That's all you're doing.
And they're going like 80 miles an hour.
So that was bizarre. But the one that won, and now I'm a little pissed off about it, was curling.
Really?
Yeah. We
look, curling's wacky as hell.
Oh, it's fantastic. The only thing that made it great then was because you used to run with brooms. I mean, any game where you're running on ice without skates with brooms, you got to admit, that's pretty bizarre.
It's a great game, but it's bizarre.
But so that won, and I'm a little mad about that because now I like curling. Luge, I mean, those games are fun to watch. I don't know why you'd go see that event, though, to be honest with you. I said I want to go to an Olympic event, but the one that really strikes me as a complete waste of money. Is if you go to luge or bobsled, because you sit at a spot all day. They're coming. I think they're coming. Oh, here's the only heard it. They're coming. They're coming down the hill. They're coming up here. Should be here soon. Here they come. There they went. That was it. That's all you saw. That's
It's not like a car race. You can't see passing occasionally.
The guys in front of you for literally 3 seconds. You freeze your ass off and you're sitting there watching a guy go by you for 3 seconds. That's the whole. Wow, how much were these things? These are great seats, Dad. We're right on turn 7. We are, son. You know this is great. Oh, here comes another guy. Here comes Ingmar from Sweden. Here he comes. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, and they all do that thing at the beginning. They all yell, yo. Right? Do we see him? No. Is he here? No. No. Oh, I hear some. Yeah. All right, here he comes. And there he goes, and that's that. That was great. I'm going to go get some hot chocolate. Great. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's nutty. Maybe
I don't know what the seating looks like. Maybe you can. You
at the finish line, maybe. But even then, they don't come. They never go very straight for very long, or they would lose speed. The whole idea is they're getting whipped off of the turns
and stuff, right?
You can't really see a straightaway. I mean, you can say the same thing about car racing. But like you said, that's not even close. If you go sit at certain places on the track, if you went to Indy and sit, we had seats that year in turn one, which was fun because you could see the whole straightaway going to the finish line, and then they came into turn one with you, the short.
Yeah.
You know, there's turns one and two of the very short, it's very short turns at Indy. So you could see that. And then the other year,
passing,
we were right opposite the pits on the finish line. That was great fun.
I saw a car spin out right in front of us. Yeah.
That was when we were on turn one. And that was, it's funny, I still remember that. That was in the race where they all race the same cars, IROC. We went race.
Yeah.
And the guy spun and hit the wall directly in front of our seats. Now we were up a little high, but yeah, that was wild. He was fine,
which is good.
But anyway, but now I think I'd have to change that poll.
What?
Kabidi is bizarre. I don't even know how you describe Kabidi. There's no
There's
no goal.
Have you seen the slap Kabidi or whatever? How do you pronounce it?
Kabidi.
Have you ever seen the slap Kabidi?
No.
It's got to be even more. It's like, let's take a bizarre sport and make it even more bizarre.
All I saw was a video, and it was just.
They run across the line, they try and slap each other?
It's like.
I'm going to take a
look. You got to look it up. It's.
So I think some people sometimes invent games just to be deviant. I mean,
just to see if they can get away with it.
So I'm going
to
see if somebody will actually believe this is a game.
I mean, I do remember it was on like ESPN, and I tweeted about it, and then you're like, "Yeah, it's a national sport
of
India," and I was like, "Yeah, oh, I'm Nick. I know.
Oh, I got to ask Dr.
No, I know because I did a project on it.
Slap Kabidi, also known as Thapad.
I didn't know there was a difference in Kabidis, though.
Slap Kabidi or Thapad Kabidi is a Pakistani variant of Kabidi, which is particularly popular in Punjab. Two players aim to slap each other. Well, that would explain the title. They're scoring 1 point for each slap landed on the opponent above the waist. The winner is the one who scores the most points or can force his opponent to forfeit his match because he's hemorrhaging uncontrollably. All right, let's go see here. Oh, no, that's just like... That's a stupid game. Yeah. It's stupid, but it's just two guys. It's
two guys just wailing on each other.
Why would slap Kabidi be any more bizarre than boxing or gay porn? I'm sorry, MMA. I mean, I don't understand.
Hey, don't you hate on mixed martial arts? I love mixed martial arts.
No, that's the Kabidi is
coming.
It is
June 8th.
It is
or 9th.
It's
9th.
Returning to Louisville. That's going to be awesome.
What MMA?
Yeah
I would think Louisville's a good town for MMA based on where we do the show.
We talk about
MMA.
It in
it's
November.
A variation. Oh, there is MMA a separate organization?
No. UFC is the organization. MMA is the sport.
Yeah, so I'm saying. So MMA is coming back here. It's like if I said basketball is coming, you said, no, the NBA.
Well, no, but I'm saying.
No, basketball's coming. No, the NBA. No, I'm saying. It's basketball. It's, yes, I'm saying.
Well, but MMA.
He's that guy. He's turned into that
guy. How am I being that guy?
Because MMA has been here.
Yeah. There's other organizations that have been here.
So
we just had an LFA event.
Okay, so UFC.
I did ring announcing for Future of Fighting.
Fair enough. So you're excited because it's
UFC, the top premier.
The top level of UFC.
Yeah, it's
coming.
I
mean, the top level of MMA.
Right.
All right.
Dana.
Kabidi's bizarre. Kabidi is, Let me see if I can find the rules. But this other game, to be honest, isn't as weird as Kabaddi is. Slap Kabaddi is a form of goofy boxing.
It's just like boxing
with guys who just got from the dentist with the happy gas. That's what it comes
to. It's just funny when they jump up in the air and then land and then it's...
How do you keep track? Is there a guy with a ticker there that like... Because, I mean, there's not a ton of defense.
I want to go to an event, though, so badly. Me and one of my buddies on the hockey team, Selly, have like... We're like,
go see a Kabaddi match?
Slap Kabaddi.
Just, I want to just go.
Kabaddi's a little bit like roller derby. First of all, there's two different types. We're not going to spend much time on this as much as I love to go down rabbit holes. This is the king rabbit. There's two different types of Kabaddi. Circle style, traditional forms of the sport played on a circular field outdoors, and the standard style, which is played on a rectangular court indoors. That's most of the ones I've seen, because that's in things like the Asian games. The game is known by different names, but the way it's basically played, the Raider, that's the guy, he's got position. He's a Raider. Doesn't mean he plays in Oakland or Las Vegas. He's required to execute each raid on a single breath. Any sport that makes you hold your breath is automatically among the most bizarre. How are they determining that exactly?
That's what I'm saying. Can't you breathe through his nose?
Joey Tribbiani, just blow your cheeks out and breathe through your nose?
Yeah, right.
In order to prove they're not inhaling, they're required to repeatedly chant the word Kabaddi. This is the most ridiculous sport. This wins hands down. There's not even anything close that compares to this. That's bizarre.
And they take it serious, though. I remember watching it one time, and they like the players had like super like wrestling intros and everything like that. Like,
you know what I want to see?
What's the idea? You got to run across the line
and like touch a line and get away before they can like grab you.
Yeah, and hold your breath the whole time.
Yeah, and
then there's a new variation which is big in the Village in New York, where you have to sing show tune as you're coming back. You got to do the entire score from My Fair Lady. As a matter of fact, then you get a bonus point.
The rain in Spain. Damn it, they got me. I actually was watching this like TikTok of these guys warming up and practicing, and then in the match, he does exactly what he practiced. He hooks this guy's leg and keeps him from running back across the line. Good Kabaddi defense.
India beat Iran 38-29. That was a good ball game. And you can't say ball game. Well, there are balls, but they're not. Anyway, that was in 2016. And then there's a new Kabaddi organization. Thank God they got rid of that old one. The World Kabaddi Federation.
I was sick and tired of them.
They were. They didn't know what they were doing. That was the largest World Cup in Kabaddi history. 32 men's teams. Women play this goofy game, too.
I mean, it does look fun. I mean, it looks like a playground game. It does kind of. I mean, I could get how it'd be fun.
I don't have a problem with the idea of running and tagging and having to be. It's the holding your breath thing.
That's weird.
And chanting and saying, to do the score from Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice's entire repertoire. That seems like bizarre.
Well, have you guys seen the? It's always like on ESPN3 or like Ocho. Sometimes it's like tag, but with parkour.
That's awesome.
That's like
with what?
It's you know what parkour is, right? Or
parkour is those guys that like they'll run,
they'll climb up that the light post and then jump on a car and then
jump onto the roof
parkour.
And do a flip and parkour and do all kinds of like cool stuff.
Do they have to hold their breath or sing songs?
No.
But they have like an obstacle course and it just looks like if I even tried it, I would hit a bar and then be knocked out.
But they play tag and like, you know, it's called an evasion if you get away from the guy. So one guy gets like a 2 second head start and starts running. The other guy chases after him. They're flipping and diving under
things.
So they're playing tag in a
setting where they're using lots of...
But they look like superheroes.
Natural obstacles like they're in a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, but it's incredible. Like the,
yeah, I'll buy that.
No, it's really entertaining to watch.
They don't have to hold their breath and sing.
Yeah, no, there's no chanting Kabaddi.
Like, what's the time limit though? Is it like just a minute? But I... Dude.
Yeah, something like that.
Going at 60 seconds straight, climbing over bars and jumping everywhere.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, I mean, it's exhausting.
Do pickup games break out, like in the project somewhere, like where guys are jumping on buildings and coming in the window, so they're playing tag? I mean,
But you should see some of the tags. Guys are diving.
What would that be like?
I mean,
You weren't singing. You weren't singing. I didn't hear lyrics. You were just humming. Do you even know the lyrics? Penalty. Penalty.
I mean, it is kind of hard to cheat. Like, say Kabaddi and take a breath. Kabaddi, 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 Kabaddi. Can't do it. You can't do it.
So I just visualized.
I don't even know how to say it.
Is the referee running alongside him with his head right in there? I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening. Up, up. Say it. That's too
Kabidi. Kabidi.
That wins the most bizarre game because the holding the breath and the singing thing. That's the bizarrest. Like, I mean, there's other crazy games, like the one where they play soccer elephants and stuff. Have you seen that?
I've not seen that.
Oh, yeah.
But I do know...
Two elephants on a team.
Kabidi, you can lose, like, a guy. So, like,
I'm just kidding.
You'll go down a man. Like, there's a penalty kill.
Okay.
So, like, if the guy gets, like, touches something and gets across, like, you lose a man or something. And then suddenly you're playing with, like, five defenders instead of six.
So
or something
like
that.
Elephants play soccer in Thailand. You've not seen this?
I have not seen this.
Have you seen the one where they play soccer on ice on motorbikes?
I have seen that one. That's insane.
Bizarre because there's crazy
motorbikes on ice.
Yeah, the tires are completely spiked, and so if you lose control of your bike, you
get run over.
You look like Swiss cheese.
Yeah, that doesn't seem.
Yeah, so that's bizarre, but okay. But the crux of those games are founded in a game we understand, soccer. We're trying to kick the ball or hit the ball into a goal. But Kabidi is very odd because of the holding the breath part. If you could play a game where, like, you know, we used to play in gym when we were little. I bet you most of you guys played this. It was called Steal the Pin or Steal the. Everybody, some people call it a different name. Steal the Pin. I think it was called Steal the Pig in other places. There's a bowling pin in the middle of the field. And the teams come out and they warily, and they think. And then one kid tries to grab it and make it back to his line. Right. And the other kids have to get him first. That's Kabidi's grown up Steal the Pig.
Yeah. But
except
there's no,
but you got to sing.
There's no pig and you're just like touching something.
Well, it's the same principle, and except there's singing.
And you have to get back across without getting tagged.
Is this a real thing? Please tell me I'm not going to be being, gotcha here. Is that a thing?
I can't see it. What does that say?
My kids play
Gaga Ball.
Why'd you read it if you didn't know what it was?
I don't know what it is because it doesn't.
Well, could mean, you know, again, having relationships
with a small
person in a phone booth.
The guy's talking about his kids. I don't think that has.
Oh, no, look, it looks cool. Gaga Ball Pit, portable, $3,900.
Yeah. I remember.
How do you play? What do you do?
I think you literally just slap like a kickball, and like if it hits someone in the leg, they're out, kind of thing.
Gaga is a variant of dodgeball that is played in a Gaga
pit. Italian
game. The game combines dodging, striking, running, jumping, with the objective being the last person standing. Players hit the ball at each other with their hands and are eliminated if the ball strikes them on or below the knee. The game can be played by a group of individual players or with teams, as well as one-on-one matches. I like that.
That sounds kind of fun.
When I left my elementary school, they like took a part of the playscape away and put
a Gaga ball pit.
Like, yeah,
well, ain't that a kick in the shorts?
I think it's an Italian thing now.
A player can hit the ball with their hands, but picking up the ball and throwing it is not allowed. Some versions do permit scooping, but that's a local rule. Check with your local regulator.
Okay.
Curling one finger so as to protect the ball while in the air. In some games, only hand hits are allowed to prevent striking injury to small children. Also, to enable greater control of the game. A player's knees or lower legs may not touch the ground as an act of defense. So, in other words, you can't drop to your knees so you don't get hit below the knee.
Right. Okay, yeah, that'd
be cheating. You'd get hit in the jewels, but you wouldn't get hit in the knee. So you'd be in the game, but in very much discomfort.
And if I was mad at a guy and just started teeing off at his head, I wouldn't get any points.
If the ball touches a player anywhere on or below the knee, the player is eliminated and must get the hell out. If the player hits himself with the ball on or below the knee, they're out. Oh, something like fouling off your own leg. A player may not hit the ball out of the pit. The penalty for breaking this rule is assigned to the last player to touch the ball before leaving the pit, rather than the original hitter. Because this provision can result in a strategy. Oh, I see what you're doing. You can try and slam it off your opponent's shoulder and then have it ricochet out of the ring. And then they would be out.
Oh, okay.
So that's a strategy.
Now, how does it start? Is there a guy in the middle and he just teeing off on everybody? Or is it like, I hit it to Tanner, and then he picks it up like after he dodges it? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. But
it sounds fun.
I have no idea.
I also love the fact that it's called a Gaga pit.
It's funny. Watch, I'm looking at a picture of the kid. There's a big, heavy kid in the middle, and he's left-handed, and he's swinging and just taking a rip at it. And all the other kids are pinned along the wall trying to get the hell out of the way.
I lied. It's not an Italian game. It's from Israel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just, that's how we work, though. We try and take credit for everything.
Especially
when Italian men get older. Everybody in their mind's Italian. Everybody. I mean, you know, when they're young, they were like celebrating, like, you know, Joe DiMaggio or composer Henry Mancini. Then they get older and it's like Adolf Rupp Italian. You know, it's like, no, I don't think he was that. No, he was.
His real name was Rupp Arena.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait till like 50 years down the road. Yeah, Conor McGregor, Italian guy.
I don't think so. Pretty sure he was Irish.
This seems to be the thing to do now is invent these games. Here's another one called Omega Ball. Do you know that?
I've heard of this.
It's like soccer, but three teams, three goals.
Yeah.
No offsides, no throw-in, only corner kicks. I wondered about that if you played with more than one game, played with more than one ball or basket.
It's like soccer multi-ball.
We did that. You know, sometimes you have practice and you just got to let the guys have, even if they're in college and you're kind of quasi grown-ups, you still got to just let them have some fun. And we would play a game that used, you know, most gyms, like Knights Hall, have six baskets. You have the two main baskets and then you got two practice courts going sideways. And we play a game using all the baskets.
Oh, nice.
So one team had to shoot at three baskets, the other team had three baskets, and there were two balls going.
Oh, wow.
And everybody played. So guys are running all the only thing you worry about is you don't want two guys running into each other.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's fun. So
yeah, I've heard of Omega Ball. Yeah.
Gaga Ball is the hottest thing at my kid's school. So that may be the next thing you know about. I'll never forget a guy calling my show back to give you an idea how long ago it was. I was still doing the show on HAS at that time, which is 20 plus years ago, and telling me about pickleball.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you making crap up? What is that? He said, no, I'm telling you, they only played it like one or two places around here. And he said it was fantastic. So,
and then pickleball took off.
Yeah.
Did you guys have Foursquare?
No.
Because Foursquare was big in my elementary school.
Really?
Yeah, Foursquare.
Well, it's
yeah,
kind of like boxball.
Yeah.
That's the game we played. As I said, if you had a Spalding and you grew up in Queens, and I didn't, but my brothers always said you got cheated because you never learned how to play all these great games. You think I'm kidding. There would be, and I know because the people lived behind us when I grew up in Seaford, and Seaford was had just been developed as a town. The school was built on an old potato and duck farm. I mean, it was really not rural, but it was pretty, not exactly grown up in the city, but the people who lived on the street behind us grew up in Queens, and they organized. There was a game you used to play with Spalding. You used to play. I think it was called slap baseball, and it was like baseball. So many games were like baseball back then because the country was baseball crazy. But everybody played. I'll never forget this. I thought it was the coolest thing. Everybody played. The mothers played. The fathers played. The kids played. And the game was played so that, like, if you were batting, you played in the street. And imagine the first baseline was going up the curb line. Okay. So you're batting right against the curb there, basically. All right.
Okay.
And then second base was out in the middle of the street. Third base, you had to run to the other curb line.
Okay.
And then you ran home, which was back where the original plate was. So you only used one curb line as a foul line. Okay. And the pitcher had to bounce the ball to you. They could put spin on it and stuff. And then you had to hit it with an open hand. And you had to hit it down. You couldn't hit it up over everybody's head.
Okay.
You had to hit it down. It had to bounce in the area that was designated as the infield. I don't know if they chalked it or whatever. And then the fielders had to field it. And they could, same thing as like if you play
pegs?
Ball. Yeah, you could hit the runner. Yeah. You could throw it to the base. And oh my God, it was so much fun. They were people everywhere. People on their lawns. They didn't care.
And this was called what?
Slap ball.
Slap ball. That sounds fun.
We played that. And if you remember, I taught you and you especially. I don't know if Jamie. But you could play with a Spalding. You could play box baseball.
Okay.
And this, again, you always use the resources that you had. If you take a sidewalk, and there are usually squares, okay, you separate yourself. Depending on the size of the squares, either three or four squares. But if they're big, three squares. And each guy stands at each end, and you have to take the ball and you have to bounce it in the square in front of the other player.
Okay.
Okay. Then he has to, with an open hand, try and hit it into the box in front of his opponent. And if it hits there, and before the guy can catch it, you get one base for every bounce it took. So if you hit it there and the guy catches it on a bounce, it's a single. If you hit it and the guy fumbles it, so it bounces once, bounces again, it's a double.
Right.
And if you could just whale it and hit it by the guy, you're going to get a home run or a triple.
Right.
Now, the same thing is that Gaga game. The strategy sometimes could be instead of – because everybody's leaned over. It's kind of like playing pickleball because you're spinning it and the guy's trying to hit it in the box. And you're trying to catch it on the fly if you can.
Right.
Not going over the line at your end. So if the guy hauls off and whales it at you and he hits it off your chest or your head or anywhere, it's going to be a home run. But if you can just get the hell out of the way – guy trying to whale it, and you just throw yourself out of the way like a batter getting out of the way of an inside fastball. He's out because he didn't get it in the box.
Because he didn't get it in the box, right.
So
right.
Some of that strategy comes into play, except you hated when the guy would do that because then you had to go chase it.
Yeah, right.
On the block. So we,
God forbid you're near a hill like
or
we were in
sewer.
Connecticut. Yeah. Oh,
my God.
Oh, the danger of losing balls.
Turned into Jesse Owens just sprinting yeah. into that thing. So that was one. And then box ball is kind of like the game you talk about.
Foursquare?
Yeah. Where it's everybody has their own box.
Yeah.
And you lose a point, right? That's how
something like that. I can't remember.
If it hits in your box and you don't make a legal return, you lose a point.
Yeah, right.
So you can play with more than one person.
Right.
But if you play head-to-head, it's like box baseball. So it's the same kind of deal. It's just like tennis without a net. You got to hit it in the other box.
And the other guy's play. So you get two boxes.
The games you can play with the Spalding. So you got box baseball. You had box ball. You had slap baseball. You had stoop ball.
What was stoop ball?
Stoop ball was you took the ball and you had a front stoop. Mm-hmm. And you had to try and throw it. And if you could hit the edge of the stoop
right
on the hard part, you know, where it would fly way in the air.
Right.
So that was the equivalent of the batter. So you throw it, and then but most of the time you missed, and so it would just hit and be a ground ball, and the guy'd catch it, and you'd be out. And you'd try it again. Or if he caught it in the fly, it was an out. But if you caught one right on the button,
it was like a line drive,
So and the same deal. If it went past a certain line, it was automatics. It was singles or doubles or whatever. So that kind of, that we played that. You played roof ball.
Roof ball.
It's the same as catch a flyers up. I don't know if that's what we used to call it. You take the ball and you throw it off the roof, and then it has to come down, and then if the guy
you don't know where it's going. Yeah. Yeah, you know what ruins that? Gutters.
Yes, I was just going to say. So that was the one that you prayed to the guy, don't throw it near the gutter, you blanky blank.
Yeah.
I was trying to make a long one. You can't throw it near the gutter. Now, get Richie. There was always one kid in the group was a monkey.
Yeah,
that kid could climb up anything.
Parkour. Right.
Oh, and he would, he's probably working on the parkour tour now. So, but that ball, that's what I mean. 49 cents. And I probably wasn't even that then. It was probably a dime.
I'm telling you, we need to do what is the best ball.
Well, nobody does it because nobody knows
how. Is it a
wiffle
ball? Is it a
you know what
Spalding?
Else they play?
Is
oh, it... I'll tell you another great game they would play.
What?
I forget what it was called.
Chinese handball is awesome.
Well, it's handball, but instead of hitting it off the wall on a fly, you have to bounce it first.
Right.
So you could play handball or Chinese handball with this. That was another game. The other game you played was you got ice cream sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And you stacked them. You made them like an asterisk.
Okay.
And then you put a bottle cap in the middle.
Okay.
And you stood far apart. And then you would throw it at the bottle cap. And you played teams. So, like, if there were three here and three there, I would throw it at the bottle cap. And then if I hit it and broke the thing apart, the other team scattered. And I forget which team put it. One team had to put that thing back together before the guy with the ball could hit all their players.
Oh, wow. So he had to peg them.
Yeah.
And they had to. Okay.
So
okay.
The three guys here. So I hit it. I break the thing up. And now. They have the ball. That's right. So it had to be their turn. So they get the ball. And so our three guys are running.
Trying to dodge it.
Yeah, because how did they get the ball back? I'm trying to think how they got the ball back. I think you hit the thing, and then the team that hit it got the ball. That's what it was.
Okay.
The team that hit it got – you hit the thing, you broke it all up, and then you went and you were chasing the ball. And they had to get in and put it back together.
While you were pegging them?
Well, you were trying to. We got two of the guys that scatter, and then you try to sneak one guy in. He'd put a stick in, and he'd run, and he'd throw it and miss. He missed! Go, Tommy, go! And then Tommy put two sticks down. So you played that. Yeah, that was wild. So, yeah, a lot of
great
and
games.
Then not to mention stickball.
Oh, stickball. When you can...
there's two different variants of stickball, too. When I grew up on Long Island playing stickball, my brothers mocked me, because that's not stickball, that's fast pitch. What are you talking about? You drew a square...
Right.
A square on the side of a ball, on the side of a building.
Right.
A rectangle, and that was the strike zone.
Right.
And then you pitched fast and used literally a broomstick. And then it was automatics. Yeah, they hit a ground ball. If the guy caught it, he was out. If it was in the air and it was caught, it was out. If it went past the fielders, depending on how they got there, it was a single or a double, or we played.
You played automatics.
It was over the firehouse. It was a home run. Yeah,
right.
It was automatics. But they played. They said, that's not stickball. It's fast pitch. Stickball was played, and he's right. I didn't realize this. If you look at his films of Willie Mays playing, Willie Mays would go play with the Giants, then come home and play stickball in the street with the kids.
That's awesome. How did he become such a curmudgeon?
Got old. You take the ball and you bounce it. They played it here. They had a stickball tournament
outside. It was my birthday.
Yeah.
Mom got mad at you. You're like, Mike, honey, just man the party for a second. Yeah. I got to check this out.
The guy would bounce it, and then the hitter would hit it, and you played in the street like baseball. He would run the bases, and there were automatics. If you hit it past two sewer covers,
right,
that was a home run if the guy didn't catch it.
Okay.
So, but other than that, the game was you'd hit it on the ground and run and try and run to the bases.
But how did he pitch it?
One bounce.
One bounce. Yeah. Okay. So it was almost like curling. Or not curling, cricket. It was almost like cricket.
But he didn't throw it. Well, he put spin on it, but they didn't throw it really fast, but they would bounce it. And then, but the big thing was if you were a guy who could hit it three sewers, you were a three sewer man.
Well, okay.
And Willie was definitely a three sewer man. So he had serious street cred.
How far are sewers apart?
Pretty far apart. Yeah, hit it pretty good. I don't know off the top of my head the distance.
But, yeah, right.
But so that was stickball. And we played fast pitch. Think of all those games.
From one little 49-cent ball.
I'm sure it wasn't 49 cents then. I'm sure it was like 50
I'm putting
cents.
The poll up. I need four balls.
Hey, oh,
I need
hey,
the Spalding, the kickball.
Go to the doctor, if that's the case. Just saying.
Oh, people loving
a
you.
Wiffle playing, ball.
People playing the talk radio game. They're getting on you for saying that you had to peg him. They're digging that.
Oh, yeah. No. As soon as I said that. But, I mean, like, everyone knows. I mean, that was what you called it. Pegs, right? Like, I mean, when you were playing as a kid, like, pegs were on.
Yeah, no, I understand. Pegs. Yeah. Yeah, but whatever. Oh, yeah, dainty. That's a cool. I've never tried that. I want to do that.
Oh, is that the one where you hit the stick up in the air,
and then you got to hit it?
They play it at the Germantown Festival.
Yeah, that's the festival.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
I would like to try that, but that would be fun. Nine square. Is that another porn thing? I don't know what that means.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Tanner and I speak fluent porn, and we don't know what it is. So.
All right. What are we doing here?
What is nine square, though?
I don't know. I'll look it up during the commercial break, but we're going to take a... have you all noticed the decreased interest in baseball? I'd like to tell you I have, but I hate to be somebody who brings up stats, but I can't help it. They're setting all sorts of attendance records, and they're making more money than they've ever made. Yeah. I don't know what I can tell you.
And their streaming numbers are still stupid.
I mean, I don't know what I can say.
As long as
if you really hate baseball and you want me to give you some support, I'm sorry, I can't. You're allowed to not like what you don't want. I'm not saying this texter does. He's saying he used to have real interest in it. For whatever reason, he's losing interest in it now. But the people who talk about that, it's so far, the prices of the tickets are much higher than they ever were, and there used to be a big deal. I'm listening to a game the other day, and they were all excited because the team went over a million in attendance. Everybody does over a million in attendance, except the A's, but they don't really count as a major league team. Everybody, I mean, and teams do 2 million now. Toronto, of all teams, did 4 million one year. So, I mean, and their merchandising numbers are off the charts. Their streaming numbers are off the charts. The local TV contracts are off
the charts.
I will
say the blackout rules are stupid.
Yeah.
The blackout rules are insanely restrictive.
I wouldn't know about that because I have...
The box.
CCTV.
So. Which is somehow still legal.
Did you guys see the Red Sox Guardians game was an hour and 49 minutes yesterday?
That's the way to do it. Speaking of which, we've been on 3 days. We have not mentioned once that John Sterling is no longer the announcer for the New York Yankees.
Yeah. And who's the Bruins?
Oh, Jack Edwards.
Jack Edwards.
Man, yeah. Dude, nice.
He's been doing it for a long time, too.
I did not like him growing up.
You didn't like him?
Jack Edwards? No.
Why not? What did he ever do to you?
Very biased. Like, I don't know. It's like, oh, yeah, the team's paying your checks, but it was... And it's okay, like being
a Bruins fan.
Oh, I know that, but it was like some moments that like he just was being very disrespectful, like Pacioretty getting hurt.
Yeah,
he like was like, oh yeah, he deserves that. And it's like, dude, the guy's neck's broken right now. He's on the ice. Like, he's not a good like. I've heard he's a kind guy off the mic, but there was
never met him. He was an ESPN for a short time when I was there, but I never met him. But John Sterling is in New York. Was when he first got there, he was not liked because he's a circus act, and the New York set a reputation for very unbiased. Don't bring up Phil Rizzuto. But he was also very respectful. If you ever heard Rizzuto do a game, he was very respectful to the opposition, always paying them compliments. He was never denigrating them. But the guys like Mel Allen and Red Barber, these are legendary names that you guys don't know because they're more than 2 months old.
Heard of them.
They were legends, and then he came in and he's doing that's the Tim Bamtino, Tino Martinez. It is high, it is far, it is gone. The Yankees win. I wonder how much
John Sterling and the little man who shakes him.
Shakes him.
The best John Sterling one, though, is John Carlos Stanton hits a high, high ball, and it's like, that is far, that is deep, that is caught. Ah. And then he had one.
He couldn't see toward the end. He was 85.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah, and he was having a harder time. But I think they wanted him to stay. Why wouldn't they? Listen, when you announce for a team that wins a lot, unless you're completely incompetent, you will be relatively popular because you are linked with happy results.
Right.
So, you know, you see that. And most of the guys that have developed a reputation with certain teams, they were there for great, you know, West Durham's dad Woody was there for all those great Carolina teams. And, you know, Chick Hearn was with the Laker teams. And Vince Scully was with the great Dodgers teams.
Right.
And frankly, you know, around here, I mean, Paul Rogers has been the voice of so many great Louisville teams. So, I mean, it's...
But what about guys that were around for great teams and then around for bad teams? Like poor Marty Brenneman. And that ball goes all the way to the wall. And the Reds managed to blow another 7-run lead.
But Marty had earned that because I don't think anybody doubted how much he was rooting for the Reds.
Oh, God.
He loved the Reds.
That was my favorite.
He spoke the frustration of the fans.
Oh, yeah. No, he was absolutely.
That's what Harry Carey did, too, to a degree. But Harry, by the end, it's hard to believe he wasn't getting half schnockered by the end of the game. He was truly a Budweiser man. I mean, he was the one that was. I mean, but I listened to him early in his career, though. He was really a good play-by-play announcer. He worked for the Cardinals, the Cubs, and the White Sox, and he was really good. And then at the end, that happens. Like Rizzuto got to be known throughout the game because all those guys keep scorebooks, so you know what happened. And so one of the guys looked down at his book. And he was like, Phil, I know what these other symbols mean, but what is WW? So I wasn't watching.
So, yeah. That's awesome.
So that's
that might be a summer Twitter poll that I'll never finish.
Of course.
But the best play-by-play announcers. Maybe I should just do it for baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball play-by-play. But I mean, who would win between Marty Brenneman.
Are you going to try to do head-to-head jobs?
Yeah. I'll do the gauntlet because the gauntlet's the best way to do it. The winner stays on and they just keep going. But, who's better? Marty Brenneman, Bob Uecker. Who's better? John Sterling.
That'll be tough.
Or Harry Carey. Who's better? Harry Carey or Vin Scully?
I like Dave Sims for the Mariners. He's
Dave
awesome.
Sims used to be a sports writer in New York when I was working at St. Francis. He covered a couple of our games. And I did a couple of games with him. And then he was the sports anchor for the CBS affiliate in New York. I'll never forget this. He's a very, very nice man, and I got to know him a little bit. So I went to see him at CBS one time, and he came over and he gave me a hug.
Nice.
Yeah, and then he walked away and he had all his makeup on for getting ready to go on TV. And the shoulder of my suit jacket was
just covered in makeup.
Completely covered in makeup, which you can't get out.
Oh, so, yeah, that's rough.
That's okay, Dave. I forgive you because you're a good guy.
I accidentally did that to a girl in high school.
Why did you have makeup on?
No. Well, I did wear makeup in high school, but that's a story for another day.
Oh.
No, this girl, she's a beautiful girl. She was like our theater girl. Name was Megan.
Okay.
And I was, but she was shorter. And we're walking in a crowded hallway. I can only imagine what Silver Creek is now. But I was looking over my shoulder talking to, a friend.
I'm walking forward.
And I straight shoulder checked the bejesus out of this poor girl.
Okay.
Shoulder right in the puss.
Okay.
And I mean, bang. And to her credit, she just kind of, shook her head. And I was like, Megan, I'm so sorry. She's like, it's all good. And kept walking. And I looked down and my shoulder was covered in makeup. Smeared.
Theater makeup is a different level of makeup.
And I mean, I wrecked her. And she didn't even flinch. God bless her.
Tape. I wrecked her. There you go. Texas said the Redbirds did a million back when they were playing, when they were before the Bats. That's true. The Redbirds had a million fans.
The Redbirds did? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Back at Cardinal Stadium?
That was significant back at the time. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And, it says look up over the line softball. I don't know what that is unless it's a nude game or something. I'm always thinking of something.
I was going to say, why do you, that's sports.
What
now.
Was I talking about in yesterday's show? I told you, I am the dog now that every time you lift the newspaper up, he recoils and goes and hides under the desk.
Real. Omega ball was
all right,
real.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm trying to phase myself out of that. But there's a game they play in Chicago. I played in a softball league here with a guy. I don't know if this probably is not it. They play. The ball is bigger than a regular softball.
Okay.
A little bit softer. Appreciably softer.
So you can't smash this thing.
And, yes, so the field is smaller. And you play with no gloves.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's enormously popular in Chicago. I don't know what the name of it is, but I always wanted to try it. That sounds like it'd be fun. All right. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back and do more radio. ESPN 680-1057.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
We're back. I meant to go get some chicken during that commercial break.
Why are you getting chicken?
Because it's Wing Zone Day, and I'm hungry, and I love me some Wing Zone.
Thanks to Adam and his staff. I hope he has somebody on his staff named Eve, don't you?
Yeah, that'd be good.
For dropping off Wing Zone Catering to the ESPN. It would be so great, too, if they showed up just wearing fig leaves.
I'm not sure what I would do. Be like, hi, I'll take...
Here's your chicken.
I'll take eight boneless and a... Whoa! Like,
hello. Adam and his staff dropped off Wing Zone Catering to the ESPN Louisville Studios. You know, they're perfect for your next tailgate. Plus, try the new chicken sandwich. Order online at wingzone.com. Three area locations in Metro Louisville. How about some play-by-play? Would you care for some play-by-play?
Sure.
Well, first of all, today is Thursday, so you can chess trap Soccer City at 6 p.m. That goes on tonight. There's no basketball tonight because they play both of the finals, if you will, of the play-in tournaments tomorrow.
Right.
So that will be tomorrow night, but I don't see we have either of those games. That's odd. We have Reds versus Angels at 7 because we have the U of L spring football game. That's why. Both those things are on Friday. Saturday is Lou City at Loudoun United, then Louisville Baseball at Miami, and then the Reds at the Angels. Sunday, same deal. Louisville baseball's at Miami. Reds and Angels at 110, and Rangers and Braves are the ESPN national game. Inside Churchill Downs comes your way. We are right knocking on the door for the Derby, so that'll have some great stuff. That'll be Friday at 6. Also, down the stretch at 9 a.m., more horse racing talk on Saturday on 93.9 The Ville. Then the Victory Formation Sports Show with Jeff Leitze, 10 to 11, 93.9 The Ville. Sunday morning, you can listen, by the way. I wanted to make this clear so people don't think. I had some people say, I'd really like to listen to that Sunday morning show, but I don't really drink that much anymore. You right. don't have to have a hangover.
Right, right.
So it's just
it is
called,
encouraged.
It's just called the Sunday morning hangover, 10 till noon. Nick Curran and fabulous Phil Baker, ESPN 680 and 105.7. So now you're up to speed on everything going on. We thank the folks at Wing Zone for their food. This is old. Don't know why we still have it. So we will get rid of that loudly on the air.
Oh, a little ASMR. Oh, there was something written on the back of it. Maybe that's why.
Oh,
I got
maybe.
Out.
That might have been me, actually. Well, now we got to go take it out of the trash. Almost threw your mother's shoes out yesterday.
How did this happen?
Cyclone loves to chew shoes. Her shoes, for some reason. I don't know why he doesn't mess with mine. But he takes to chew her shoes. So she took them off the floor and put them on top of the garbage. I thought she put them in because they wouldn't fit in the garbage. I thought she wanted to throw them out.
So you hucked them?
So I took the garbage out of the can, the bag, and then I took her shoes with them and went and threw them outside. And I said, you wanted me to throw those shoes out, right? She said, no! I just was getting them out of the way from Simon.
Whoopsie-daisy.
Cyclone. So she had to go to garbage. She had, what do they call that? Dumpster dumping.
Dumpster diving, yes.
Made her go dumpster diving.
Also, I want to give a shout-out real fast because I am very excited about this.
Oh, gosh.
Incredibly excited about this.
Nervous.
My favorite soda. Truly. I don't often say this. I'm usually wishy-washy. Well, I really like this one, and then this one, and then maybe if I put them in a tournament, and I'll have this one with burgers, but this one with pizza.
Right.
No. My all-time favorite soda
is
Alate Peach, and it is back.
It's back. Way to go.
Just a seasonal flavor they bring back. So why did Ale 8-1 decide to bring back its peach recipe? Was it because of success from last spring? Popular demand from the public? What were the deciding factors? The initial launch of peach was well received by our fans and sold out prior to projections. The fan reaction coupled with a firm belief that the flavor is wainscot worthy. I don't know what that is, but I think...
Wait, that's a guy's name?
Wainscot worthy is why we felt it needed a repeat appearance. This is directly from them. This is a statement released by Ale 8-1. Is there an estimation of how long Peach Ale 8 will be available? They expect that many locations near Winchester will be sold out in the first few weeks after launch. Outside of this region, we believe it may be very challenging to find anywhere by the first 2 weeks of May. It's already in stores, by the way. Already
the
in
wainscot
stores.
Wainscot is a drink. W-A-I-N-S-C-O-T-T.
Okay.
A wainscot. You can use cherry ale 8, or I guess you can use peach also, which is the one you like. A half ounce of fresh lime juice, a half ounce of orange juice, and a splash of lemon juice. And that is your wainscot. But if you want to make it as a cocktail...
Which we did. We made a peach Bellini with it.
This peach,
fantastic.
There's a peach fizz highball. I love that term. That was my father didn't drink at all. My mother drank very rarely, but that was the term they would use when they were together. I don't know. I think they might want some highballs. I always loved that.
Nice.
I thought they meant they were like a pitcher that would bring in
some high cheese.
The upper side of the zone. Highballs. They don't use that term anymore, I don't think. Hardly anybody says highball.
No, highball's a drink.
No, but do they? That was the generic term for mixed drinks, highballs.
Right.
So they still don't use it that
way. Jim Beam started a whole thing about bringing back highballs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Makes me feel good. Here's how you make that drink. A peach, pitted and roughly chopped. I don't think they mean like you got to... I think they mean just don't chop it too finely.
Yeah, right.
I don't think they're talking about you got to, you know, risk lopping off a digit or two.
You're just like Zorro-ing the thing.
Easy. 2 ounces of rye whiskey.
Okay.
6 ounces of peach ale 8. In the bottom of a pint glass, muddle, that's another great word, muddle together peach and whiskey. Strain the mixture through a fine mesh sieve filled halfway with ice. Top each, so once you've done that, now take a peach ale 8 and put it on top. And then stir it to combine and serve.
That sounds fantastic.
Okay, and then there's another peach drink called the Peach Keen.
Peachy Keen, yeah. We made a Peachy Keen.
2 ounces of mezcal.
Mezcal.
A half ounce
of smoky tequila.
A half ounce of rose liqueur. This is a very busy drink here. 3 ounces of lime juice. A half ounce of pineapple juice. 6 basil leaves. And then peach ale 8. Again, we're muddling. We're always muddling. 4 leaves of basil in a shaker tin. Saving 2. Don't put them all in. Save 2. Damn it. Sorry. Add all the remaining ingredients except the peach ale 8 to the shaker with ice. Shake to chill and dilute. Strain to Collins glass with cocktail ice, top with peach ale 8, and garnish with remaining basil leaves. Which would you like better there, do you think? The peachy keen or the peach highball?
Probably the peach highball.
Okay.
I would definitely try the peachy keen. We made a drink called the peachy keen, like original. But
Who did?
Me and my friend Kate at the Black Rabbit last year. Yeah.
You made it up, you mean?
Yeah, we came up. She made like a peach Bellini. We made that one. I made this like orange, this peach dreamsicle, like dessert drink. It was fun. It was very good. It's an electric mixer. It really is.
On the Ale8 website, I'm going to play a game with you. Tulio, you're a heavy drinker, so you might weigh in on this. I'm giving him a whole different background. He has different names. Now he's got a drinking problem. All these things are completely false. How many cocktails do you think they list, and how many mocktails do you think they list? The wainscot, which I read at the beginning, was a mocktail. How many cocktails are listed? How many mocktails? We'll let Nick go first on the cocktails, and then you do over-under. Let me count them. Okay, what do you got?
How many cocktails?
Mm-hmm.
For what?
Why don't you try and listen to the show?
I know, I was listening, but I don't know.
How many cocktails are listed on the Ale 8 webpage?
Oh, it's 12.
Over or under there, Tulio, what do you think? More or less?
Over.
Yeah, way over, 32.
32, wow. Yeah. Yeah. It is a great mixer.
I was going to say like 20.
They become like, that's become their thing now. They become like the...
Oh, Ale 8 in bourbon is, it doesn't get more Kentucky than that.
All right, so now Tulio, to win the game, you got to beat him in this. And now I'll have to go to a tiebreaker. How many mocktails, those are mixed drinks without alcohol in them, are listed in the on the webpage?
22.
Higher or lower?
24. I'll go with my lucky number.
Higher?
Yeah.
Loser, 9.
Damn it.
Oh, 9 mocktails, 32, because, ladies and gentlemen, we love our booze here in the Commonwealth.
That we do.
BTB. Bring the booze.
I'm trying to find this cocktail that I came up with.
They actually sold it? They had the guts to sell it to the public?
Yeah. No, I was a quasi-bartender there for a little while, and your boy was making some good stuff.
That sport of the game in Chicago is called mushball, okay? And the reason, apparently from another texter, is it's a 16-inch softball. Think about how big that is. You don't have to be a good contact hitter there. You better be able to make contact with that bad boy.
Yeah, seriously.
But the ball starts out hard, but as you hit it, it softens up as the game goes on. I played a lot of first base, and I prayed there were no ground balls and throws to first until a few innings went in the books. Yeah. All right. There's that. That's that game. What else do we have here? Some other texts that have come in about various topics.
437-9680, UPS Jobs text line.
I'm playing in a 60 and older baseball league. We're looking for players, if you could make an announcement. All right. Well, if you're 60 or older and you want to play baseball, give these folks a text or a call. Addison Baseball, if you're interested. Craig Stern. That's his name, I assume, unless he just decided to make a page, borrow somebody else's name. Hey, my age, I assume. Craig Stern, 1957 at Gmail. Good luck. I hope you get players. Tough to get people to play. Harder to get people to play baseball, although people who love baseball, scorn at softball. That's not baseball to them. But obviously, as you look at how many people still play softball, it's wildly popular. So there's that. The game, by the way, people are following through on this. 16-inch softball is also an addition to mushball called cabbage ball, puff ball, blooper ball, clincher, smush ball, and Chicago ball. How about that?
I like smush ball.
Yeah. So you better hit home runs early because then that thing is going to soften up.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. The first set of rules were published in 1937 by the Amateur Softball Association. So there you go. What is this now? This is some stuff about, the family secret. You know why the drinks are called Wainwright's?
Why is that?
It's named after George Lee, not Wainwright's, Wayne Scott. George Lee Wainscott was driven by independent ambition. This is on the Ale 8 website. His pioneering spirit led him to establish a soft drink company in 1902 after his laying eyes on a carbonation machine. And then, of course, it became the official ginger soft drink. Not official, but the Kentucky's own original ginger soft drink since 1926. So I love people who do that, how they start companies like that. That's pretty amazing. I don't know. Can you do that anymore? I guess you can. Can you really start a multi-jillion-dollar business just like with a cool idea of... I mean, it seems like everybody who does that now is doing it because they're doing something techie. Like they're doing something associated with AI or money or, you know, with the fake money, whatever that's called. The,
Crypto.
Crypto, yes, thank. So, but I don't think anybody just came up with... I got a really great idea for this, I don't know, this it's hard for me to describe how the people got rich by making a product. I don't know you do that anymore. It's mostly about service, is it not? I don't know. It seems to me. I don't know. Maybe I just haven't had that big idea yet. I don't know.
I just feel like half of it is being able to do that or provide that service or item consistently. Like that's the thing. It feels like...
Well, but think about it. You know what's interesting? Because think about this. This is how the world has evolved. Blockbuster came up with a spectacular idea, and it ran its entire course in how many years? 15? 20? Blockbuster's gone. Done.
Oh, yeah. No, it's gone.
Gone. I mean, do people still... Is anybody still... I'm not knocking if you do, but I still see those kiosks. Is anybody renting DVDs at Redbox?
Redbox, not much. Sometimes video games, but yeah.
I mean, so these ideas seem so radically... advanced and were making, they had to put a helmet on. People were throwing money at them and then it disappeared. They all disappear.
Well, they didn't really adapt. I mean, like,
how could you adapt if you're selling, if you're renting video cassettes and nobody's
Blockbuster could have bought Netflix.
That was a bad decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. No, they have one left, though. It's like in Oregon, though.
Yeah, in like Alaska or something.
That's
like
that. Pretty awesome. What do they have? Do they can't possibly still be renting video cassettes, are they?
I don't know.
Well, they, at the end, they weren't doing video cassettes. They were doing DVDs
and Blu-rays.
Blockbuster. Let's go take a look. Blockbuster. There's a Blockbuster Express. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Because it came up here in Louisville, Blockbuster Express. I was like, wow. And then it says permanently closed.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah. There it is. The last remaining store. It's a fully operational vintage video rental store and nostalgia museum of sorts that's open 7 days a week. And that is in Bend, Oregon. Oh, look at it. It even looks like the old Blockbusters.
Yeah, that does look pretty cool.
I'd go see that. So they're trying to turn it into like a tourist thing. There's a bunch of craft beer places nearby.
I'm telling you, I think they should come back as a place that sells used movies. Like, you know, but there's still limited book and music exchange, you know, something like that.
50% off of whatever that place is.
But like, come back and still, you know, but people, there's, at least my generation, there's a massive amount of nostalgia. I mean, that's the whole reason Toys R Us is coming back.
They're coming back as what?
Toys R Us is coming back. Like,
I know, but so why? Oh, you mean just
like the nostalgia factor, I think.
Are they back for real?
Yeah, they're. I mean, they kind of partnered with Macy's. They're in a lot of Macy's stores.
Yeah, and they're not really.
But I think there's plans to. I remember us talking about this on the air. There's plans to bring back some brick and mortar locations for Toys R Us.
There's one here in Louisville, according to this. Is this true? 6650 Dixie Highway in Louisville. Is that place still open?
No, I don't think so. But because that was the thing, they like named 15 cities that were getting Toys R Us, and I don't think we were on the list, and I was pissed off again.
Yeah, this has got to be old, right? That doesn't exist.
Do you remember when they closed down everything and they had the little sign with like the giraffe waving away, and it was, I guess everyone has grown up. There are no more Toys R Us kids.
Yeah,
that almost shed a tear.
That was right in the pills.
The 12-year-old me, every Christmas I would use them as an excuse. It was great when you have children because they have an excuse to go, let's go to Toys R Us. And Darlene was pretty good with it, too. But in December of 2021, December 16th to be exact, Toys R Us opened a two-story flagship store in a place I haven't been yet. And we got to find a way to go there. Maybe on this trip to New York, we got to make a trip there. The American Dream Mall in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Bigger than the Mall of America.
Yeah, that's wild to me.
In August of 2022, they opened new locations in California, Georgia, New Jersey, Illinois, Nevada, Louisiana, New York, Maryland, and Missouri. So they are bouncing back, evidently, in some places. How about that?
But what were some of those states?
So, they were all those stores. I'm not reading. I'm not doing the show twice, once for me and once for the listening audience and once for you when you decide to come back from your phone funk. So
I'm trying to find the damn recipe for this cocktail. I'm sorry.
These stores are located inside Macy's stores, range from 1,000 to 10,000 square feet. The company plans to open a store in every Macy's location in the United States. So how about that?
Wow.
But it's not nearly the same. Though it's a little,
it's a watered down. No, yeah, like it's keeping it alive. But yeah, it's not.
But I remember the one in New York in Times Square. They used to, that was their flagship store. They had a Ferris wheel in the store.
That was cool. I remember that. Cool. Yeah. I remember that.
So anyway, there's that. Let's see what else we got. Colonel Sanders got his first Social Security check and said, "I can't live on this." He took stock in what he had that he could make some money from, realized that he had something was chicken. Made from his family's secret recipe. I thought I read that story. Is that really true?
What?
Doing the show again.
No,
only
I
doing
heard.
The show once, so that's the way it goes.
I heard you, but what exactly were you saying? The fact that he took out...
That he decided to go into the chicken business because his Social Security check was so small. I mean, I love strange stories. I've told this on the air before. I promise we'll get
to it. I don't remember hearing that.
I didn't either. That Duncan Hines, to me, that there was a guy in Kentucky who wrote, I wrote a book too. So we did a Kentucky author's book thing, which was great fun. And he wrote a book, and I'm so glad I got it. I bought it, and I loved it. It's the biography of Duncan Hines. Duncan Hines.
The cake.
Yes, but that's what you know him as.
Yeah, right.
But what's unbelievable is the way it evolved to that point.
Yeah, weren't there like four steps before he became?
He and his wife liked to go on motoring trips. This was back when, you know, not a lot of people were doing a lot of stuff in cars, and so they would go on these trips, and then they would obviously want to eat on these places to go, and he would not eat at a place, because this is way before there were signs, you know, in the window A, B, C, you know, the evaluation for the cleanliness of the place. You know, there was none of that stuff going on back then. So he would go into these restaurants, and he would ask, "Can I see your kitchen?" And then they would generally take him in, and if they wouldn't, he wouldn't eat there. And then he would go in, and he had a notebook, and he kept track of every place he went to, and this place is good, this place is outstanding, the food is good, it's very clean, this place, I wouldn't eat there on a dare, this place is. So he had a whole book, because he and his wife went like motoring like every weekend.
Right.
So they would go do this, and so his friends got wind of it, and they were like, "Hey, Duncan, you think, can we get a copy of that book? That's
yeah,
so
right,
awesome."
Yeah.
So he started to print some for friends, basically. And then the demand got to the point where he was like, I can't keep doing this out of my pocket. So he started selling them. And it became like the – what's the thing they have now? The Michelin.
I was about to say, it sounds like the Michelin
guide.
It was
kind of like the forerunner to the Michelin guide. And he was selling so many of them, and he had such credibility. People trusted him. If he said, that place you can go to, that food is clean, that place is clean, the food is good, service is good, or whatever. So it became such a
– it had some merit.
Oh, the people believed that he was – a man of some immense credibility. So the Duncan Hines people approached him. I forget which company it was, approached him and said, "We'd like to do a line of cake mixes with your name on it." And he said, "Why me?" And they said, "Because everybody trusts your name. If they see your name on it, they're going to think it's good, it's quality. So he did the same thing. He tested them and he liked them. And then he would go do shows and demonstrations. And then basically he got out of the whole travel book industry and just became, I forget which company it was. Duncan Hines was owned by somebody else, the company. But now the name is synonymous with cake mix. But actually, it was a guy, and the way he got into it is because he liked to go on car trips. That's what led him to be the cake magnet, is because they wanted to go on car trips.
And then
selling books.
That led to
the
friends wanting it.
The books were so popular,
it.
So much credibility. Right. The company approached him, said, "Would you do these shows for us?" He did, and then he became very wealthy from selling cake when he was not a baker or any kind of a cake
person.
It was just because he developed a great reputation for himself.
We want to know Thursday. I tracked down that cocktail, finally, by the way.
Thank God, because you were getting very close to pissing me off. So.
Well, I think I pissed you off.
Okay.
No, I definitely think I pissed you off. We called it the E-Show, which is Japanese for together. It's Suntory Toki Japanese Whiskey, which is a very light whiskey. Pama, which is like a pomegranate liqueur. Sorrel, which is a spice pear liqueur. A little bit of lime juice, some simple syrup, and an Ale 8 float. Ale 8 peach float on the top. And I'm telling you, this was one of the best cocktails I've ever made. Dare I say, it was one of the best cocktails we ever made. It was so light and refreshing. It was really, really good.
Well, stealing a page from Pritzi's Honor and licking the sprinkles off your cupcake.
Yes.
If it's so freaking good, why is it so freaking dead? They don't sell it anymore, right?
Well, because, smartass, Intelligentes Pantalones, Ale 8 peach is a seasonal flavor. So we could only make it as long as we had the Ale 8 peach.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a cocktail of the day. So why don't you, in that big head of yours, come up with a great cocktail?
What'd you say?
This is what you do.
And
I've learned about this in therapy. No, if there's something I'm awesome at that he doesn't know about, he gets worried that I'm going to make him sound stupid.
What are we doing? We're doing
because
a story
he doesn't
about the
know
shortage
an old
of ale.
Fashioned.
There's no shortage of Ale 8. I don't know why you're telling that. Why are you coming up with
there's
stories?
There's a shortage of the seasonal.
There's no shortage of seasons. There's winter, spring, summer, and fall. They're all here. You're just making crap up.
You're just jealous that I can make... I know enough about liqueurs and stuff
I'm
to make cocktails.
I lose sleep over that. You know what I just found out from a texter?
What's that?
It sounds like a delightful drink. It doesn't, because I don't know any of those products.
Exactly. And so that's what you do. You make fun of it because you don't know anything about it.
Okay. All right.
You become the evil you preach against.
All right. So give me the...
No.
Give
no,
me the
no, no, no. No, I'm going to use your thing.
All right. Believe me, I'll be happy not to do it again. You don't want to do it again? Fine. Let's move on. So this is what a texter just sent me. Haley Van Lith to TCU.
Yeah, joining Haley Cavender.
Nope. She's going to Miami now.
She is?
Yeah.
She's going back to Miami?
It got announced like 10 minutes ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was going to say that's a very marketable.
This was one of the two twins was going to go to TCU?
Yeah, one of them signed this season, and then it must be Haley Van Lift because quickly right back to Miami because I think both of them took a year off. I don't know for what reason, but they're also like
multi-jillionaires
from NIL
and being influencers now.
I am jealous of this, so I'll fess up to it.
Almost as jealous as my cocktail.
No, I'm not really jealous. I just don't know anything about it. So talk about it. You want to talk about cocktails? Go to 10 minutes. I'll sit here and I'll have a nice cup of coffee. Go ahead. Go.
I'm not going to derail the show. I'm not going to do that.
What do you mean you're not going to derail the show?
I'm not going to derail the show more. Like
there
we're finally
go. There
getting
it is.
Back.
There we
we're
go.
Finally getting back to sports. Yeah. I'm just saying that is a dynamite cocktail, Suntory Japanese whiskey, pomegranate, sorrel, lime juice, simple syrup, and an ale-8 peach float. And I'm telling you, you have a very light, fantastic summer cocktail.
Sounds delightful.
It is. It is.
Now, here's the question I have. Why the hell is she going there? They're not any good.
Money.
TCU is ninth in the Big 12.
Money. Well, it was enough for Haley Cavender to go there for a little while.
She
went for a year. So obviously, and I mean,
she's also dating like Jake Ferguson, I think, on the Cowboys. So maybe that was a reason why.
There you go.
Hey.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, they were the poster children for NIL deals, the Cavender twins.
So I figured they had to have some NIL opportunities.
Haley Van Lith has proven to want to chase that NIL bag. So, you know, if there's NIL there.
She's listed, by the way, not a basketball player, as an American media personality. That sums it up.
Who, Haley Cavender?
Mm-hmm. Now
they signed with WWE, by the way.
Oh my God! Did they
really?
Actually?
No, the Cavender twins signed along with a lot of college athletes. They signed as soon as NIL became a thing. They signed with WWE as part of a developmental deal.
Like,
that
yeah,
WWE is like, you're athletic. You have a certain look about you. We could market you. Join our ranks, and you know when you graduate from college, maybe there'll be a spot.
The only Cavender played at Fresno State, then for Miami. Then went to, she was an all Mountain West selection in each of her three seasons at Fresno State. She was named the Mountain West Player of the Year. And then she went to Miami. And then she played, so she played at Miami and then she played at TCU.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's going, how many years does this freaking girl have?
I don't think they played though. I think
oh,
they.
Oh, really?
Like,
did they redshirt?
They,
or
like
did
redshirted
they,
or they just signed and were like,
did they get a COVID year? Yeah. I mean, I think they get the COVID year, right?
Yeah.
So here's what I'm jealous about. She's the leading free throw shooter like in the history. She set as a junior, she set the NCAA single season free throw percentage record at Fresno State. So I admire them, and I hate when people mock because people go at one end to the other. They either lose their minds if they're good looking, especially if they're good looking blondes, or they mock the hell out of them.
Yeah, right.
And it bothers me that like I'll go back to my Anna Kournikova story. You know, the people like to mock her because she was making all this endorsement money and she never won a singles event. She was also the number one ranked doubles player in the world.
Yeah, she had
some
chops.
So it wasn't like she didn't know how to play.
She had chops.
Okay. Well, but there are a whole bunch of people on there, and I tip my hat to the numbers that are astoundingly, you know, attractive people, men and women, but especially the women that fit that mold, who are really good at something else, like they're very good singers, or they're skilled in certain other things, which are may not be sports related at all. But there's a whole bunch of people who are trying to make a living. Their whole social media presence is comprised of them walking, and then turning and looking at the camera, and often in a short skirt or something revealing.
Just,
it's like, yeah, I do resent that. I'm sorry.
I do and I don't,
but
because I mean, you know, you're using God given gifts, but yeah, I do. You know what it does? It doesn't make me hate those people, but it makes me celebrate the ones that can do that.
Oh, I guess,
and
well, the thing,
also have another skill.
Oh my God, there are so many talented people out there. It's unbelievable.
That are gorgeous.
Yeah, Hannah, her sister, is. She never left Miami, right? She went to Fresno State, went to Miami, and stayed there,
didn't
she?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
So they split up.
So I looked it up.
Ooh.
They retired, and then the one that went to TCU, she
unretired,
like in October, entered the portal, signed with TCU, and now...
Played.
No, she didn't play, though, this year.
Oh, she didn't?
She just signed and was like going to be playing this upcoming season. Now she went back to Miami. I think
so. Is she going to play in Miami now?
Yeah, I think both of them are back for one more year.
Okay, good for them.
Weird situation, though.
Very strange.
Very weird.
Can't tell the players without a scorecard. That's for damn sure. That's unbelievable. It's, you know what? That's a great. That's one of your a great text thing. They were. Bozich just wrote a piece. Did you see it?
No, I did not see
it. He has a love-hate relationship is the title of the piece.
With NIL?
With NIL.
Yeah.
And the portal.
Yep.
And
I feel like a lot of people do.
Well,
that's fair.
What I'm wondering. So if you had to pick, though, what percentage? Like, to me, typical of me, you know, obstinate in that regard, I don't have a hate nor love. I have a...
Indifference?
I have a resign myself to reality thing.
I'm putting this up as a Twitter poll.
Well, I think it's going to be easy. I'll make a prediction. How are you going to phrase it?
I'm going to put it as such. V-Show Twitter poll. Do you like NIL and the transfer portal?
You'll get...
No. But this is the thing.
Bluebell ice cream. Now you're really...
Oh, yeah. Do you like NIL and the transfer portal? The options will be yes.
Okay.
Just NIL.
Okay. Just portal. And no.
Yeah.
Well, that makes it confusing by design because that's what you like to do.
We're kind of workshopping this. Should I not do it that way?
No, you can do it that way. But my point is I'm of two minds of it, and I'll tell you why. The players for too many years were not recognized for their contributions to how much money everybody was making. I love Seth, my friend. He grew up with him on Long Island. But he has been hell-bent that, well, the scholarship, they get a scholarship, they get to keep their Pell Grant. That's how much do you need? I mean, that's enough. Well, you know what? They are making literally millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and nobody's paying to go watch. They weren't paying to go see, you know, the head of the NCAA, Miles Brand. They weren't paying to see him, the new head of the NCAA, any of the other commissioners, the athletic directors. They're going to pay to see the players. That's what makes the game. The game is made by the players. And the fact of the matter is they made them all feel like crooks to get a little bit of money. They had to legislation to try and get to go home for the holidays or if somebody was sick or something, you know, and it always struck me as smarmy, especially when these people are all eating at the trough. They got all, I mean, there's, take a look at the amount of manpower that the NCAA has, and to make it worse, they seemed completely inept at doing whatever it was you wanted them to do. The membership voted, hey, you guys do this. They said, okay, we'll do that for you. And then they couldn't do any of it. They couldn't legislate anything. They lost every court case. They created chaos, but they're all eating at the trough. But meanwhile, whatever you do, don't give the players any money. That's the main thing. That was the main thing. Don't give the players any of this money. That was their whole mantra. And it bugged me. It still bugs me. So I can't agree with Seth. Having said that, because they were so obstinate about not having a plan in place that works, well, now it's the Wild West. Now everybody's doing the hell they want. And now that's...
Now the pendulum is swayed the other way.
That's ridiculous. And so, you know, so I don't love the way it's set up right now. I think it should be the way people are employed. Like, I was going to use Tulio's. I'll use myself. If I wanted to go work across the street and go to another station, there is a period where I can't do that because we have non-competes. That's the way it works. So that's how the thing works. When you have a contract, we're going to pay you this amount of money for this period of time. But if you leave before that time, or a lot of times even at the end of that time, you have 6 months or 9 months or a year or whatever it may be where you can't work in the market in the same capacity. You can get another job, but you can't work in broadcasting. Well, then that's how it should be with this. And that is what Ben Johnson said at Minnesota when I did their game. We were talking before the game, and I thought he was right on it. He was like, listen, they're all loving this because all this legislation is just about getting them more and more. And he said, okay, well, you know what? They're evolving into they are employees, basically. And when you're an employee, guess what they can do?
they can fire you. And right. They don't want to hear that. They just want to know, how do I keep getting more and more money, and I can go wherever I want, whenever I want.
Right.
And so I think that if they would just – but you know why they're so hell-bent to avoid that? Because as soon as it appears – if nothing else changed, but they made it so that – you know, like, why don't they push harder so that there's the equivalent of a non-compete? Well, because by then, if you do that, you're creating, a de facto employer-employee relationship. And now they've got to worry about paying retirement and benefits and all of those things. And they're not interested in doing that. And I'm like, well, I don't care whether you're interested in doing it or not. You know, a lot of us are not interested in doing it. I wasn't particularly interested in meeting my tax attorney for 3 hours today to try and figure out my situation. But that's what you got to do. So you guys got to do this because that's the right way. They're the ones generating all the money. That's the simple reality of it. And so that's so for me, I can't, how would I answer that poll? Yes to totally, yes to NIL,
yes to the portal, or neither. Right now, the results.
I would have to say the lesser of the three evils would be, I'd say yes to the whole thing because nobody's come up with an alternative yet. Give me an alternative.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's what they're finding out about. And it's, you know, around here, I get it. I understand. Always, I got to give the disclaimer because I got to build my wall for the ATS, which will come in. But I could not get health insurance anywhere after I had my heart attack. It was the most confluence of days. I got a divorce. Was then taken off my wife's health insurance and had a heart attack, and then had to try within the next months to go get myself on another health plan. Don't bother texting me. You should have done this. It's old news, and believe me, I tried everything there was in the planet, and no, everybody was allowed to turn me down because of the pre-existing condition, and that's not what health insurance is supposed to be. And when they brought the new health plan in place, I'm a big advocate of it because it was able for me to get. I was paying decent money, but at least I could get back on. The other one was like, I forget what some sort of, there's a term they gave for it, which is basically, if I can interpret it, this is worthless piece of crap, but you can feel like you got help. Like if you're covered if an elephant falls on you walking down Bardstown Road. Other than that, you're pretty much on your own.
What if he sits on me on Shelbyville Road?
No. And outside Jeff County, you're definitely on your
own. What if it's an Asian elephant? Nope. Yeah.
So that's African elephant. So I got on this, and it cost me some decent money, but at least I got covered, and then eventually now I've got on to Medicare. But my point behind that is, even Obama, who's the driving force behind that, would say, listen, if you can come up with a better plan, let's have it. But nobody would come up with a better plan. They just wanted to rip it. Don't do it. Don't right. do this. Don't do that. And it's very easy to do that. Just keep saying no and no and no. All right. Well, give me my political science professor in college was great about that. He said we had a textbook that was written by a guy who considered himself there was the conservative point of view, the liberal point of view. His point behind writing this book was that both of them, when push comes to shove, they're two avenues of the same. You know,
right.
The same thing. They're both doing the same thing.
Cut from the same cloth.
They're both coming from two different viewpoints, but they're both trying to do the same thing. And so he would point out why they were wrong. And my teacher, a very great teacher, just passed away recently, said, you know, that's great, but that's easy. Anybody can find fault with suggestions. The thing is, does he ever in that book give an alternative? And he never did. He never said, okay, here's what I think we should do. He merely said, that's why they're wrong. That's why they're wrong. Okay. No, that's why they're wrong. That's why they're wrong. Okay. That's what should we do? He never said that. So I have a hard time when people do that and don't give an alternative suggestion. And so to me, yeah, is there a better way to do health insurance? Maybe there is, but nobody has been able to, I'm sure someone will text me, you jackass. Yes, there is. Here it is. Getting my walls up again, but my point is that's why I'm very sensitive to that. Well, having said that, it's the same thing with this. Nobody's come up with a better way yet. Nobody has come up with a better a way to approach this. So to me, I'd have to vote yes, it's okay, because it's better than doing what they've done in the past.
Right, where nobody could get their beak wet at all.
It's like walking in a rainstorm and you're holding the Sunday Times over your head.
Right.
Is that as good as having an umbrella, or better yet, getting inside and staying warm in your house? No, but it's better than walking out there with
nothing, right.
So that's kind of how I feel about that.
Right now, the results are 28% yes, 24% just NIL, 12% just the portal, 36% neither.
Yeah, well, I said I thought that would win. Yeah, people they wanted to go back to 1950.
Well, I also think, like, as a fan, it's difficult right now because, it's basically chaotic free agency.
I agree with that.
Free agency.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be on your team.
Don't know who's going to be on your team.
You're rooting for, as Jerry Seinfeld says, you're rooting for laundry. Because next year's team, there in all likelihood, will be nobody at Kentucky who was on the team this past year. And very likely nobody at Louisville who's on the team this year. And so, you know, you're rooting for laundry. That's, I'm not being nasty. I'm just saying that's the truth. So
yeah.
That's different for fans. So, anyway. We come back. We're going to take a look at that proposal you brought up yesterday. And then we'll roll on. What are we doing? Do we have a guest or something?
We got 6 and 10. I struck out on guests today. Couldn't get Nyer, couldn't get Legler. So I was thinking what we could do. Jeff Brom was on the Diener show this morning, and it was a very good interview. We could play that.
I really am losing my mind.
You really slowly. Are.
It's just seeping out. Yeah. Yeah, do that. Absolutely.
I mean, it was pretty good.
Sure.
So
why
not? We can play
why
that.
Should you only play it once? Play the hits.
You want to play that on the other side?
Why not? Not like when I die, not that side.
Well, it's like, whoa, wait.
No, on the other side.
What if like you're at the pearly gates and St. Peter's like, all right, watch it. You're like, wait, you got to hear this Prom interview with Drew. And he's like, Drew Diener. He's like, I listen every morning. Yeah.
We're up all the time up here.
Big Cards fans.
All right, man. Take a texter says two heads of the same snake. I'll buy that. Is Rummage an Arkansas fan now?
Probably.
Why?
With Cal and Big Z going there.
But why would Rummage like? I mean, he was not. Was he a Cal fan?
Well, no, but like
he's very happy that Cal's gone.
Yeah, he's happy that Cal's gone, so U of L doesn't have to play them anymore. And also, he is quietly stealing all kinds of things from UK. So
what do you mean, like office supplies, like staples?
Yeah. Recruits and former players.
He's going into all the bathrooms. He's like taking toilet paper. Like, mine. They won't
this
even
is
notice.
Mine. And this is mine. And this is mine.
Hey, those paper towels, I want them.
supposedly, Maddie Shear from Kentucky is going to TCU also. Another blonde beauty.
See, here's the thing. If it was Haley Van Lift, Maddie Shear, and the Cavender twin, one of them.
Haley Cavender, I think, is the one there.
They also have Sedona Prince.
Sure, not Sheer. Sure.
Sure.
But yeah, there, bud.
Sedona Prince is a very, very well-known college basketball, women's basketball player that has a very big following. So for a moment, it looked like a
TCU was going to have
like
the most
a lot of
marketable,
like a really marketable
NIL.
Team,
yeah,
and like a pretty good team.
I'm not being contradictory here. You should be allowed to go where you want to go. That's fine, but I don't understand the process. Like Maddie Shear, who I, to be honest, quite candid with you, I'm sorry for the. I like women's basketball. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the WNBA does with this influx of new talent. I've certainly enjoyed Jeff's team here. The women's Final Four this year was an unmitigated success. But like Maddie Shear is from Florence, Kentucky. Florence, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Oregon.
Okay.
And then comes home. They say, okay, well, now she's come home. Now, why is she going to TCU? What
that
would
bag.
That be?
Getting that NIL bag.
I don't know.
And maybe she doesn't fit with...
Oh, there's a new coach.
Yeah, I was going to say new coach, Kenny Brooks. Maybe she doesn't vibe with him or won't fit in his system or something. Who knows?
That's on my list. I still haven't done that yet either.
What?
I am acting like I'm terminally ill and I'm not. I'm fine. I went to the doctor yesterday, but I'm
scaring the crap out of me.
I've still never seen a game at the Florence Yall place. I want to go see the Florence.
Oh, yeah, formerly known as the Florence Freedom. Yeah, I want to go see a game
now.
The Florence Yalls.
Yeah, so we got. I want to see
great color scheme.
I love minor league baseball, and I've been to that little stadium. I've driven by it. It's like the castle here when we used to play the bocce tournament.
Yeah,
so I've gone by it 30 times. Never been in it.
Yeah, right.
So I've gone by that stadium all those times.
Yeah, every time we go to Cincinnati, you pass it. Yeah,
never. You know how great it was? You know I learned how that got... I mean, everybody around here knows it now, but why that sign on the big water tower says Florence, y'all.
Well, it was in Florence Mall?
It said Florence... Yeah. Josh Hopkins, the actor,
yeah,
told me that at the ESPYs because he was from there, and we were talking about Kentucky. He's the nicest guy in the world, and he was like, you know, I said, from Florence. Oh, Florence, y'all. I said, oh, yeah, let me know the story behind that. I was like, no, I'm from New York. Said, yeah, it said Florence Mall. And then the water tower people said, you can't advertise the mall on our property. So they went up there and changed the M to a Y.
Scratched it out.
See, I love that kind of stuff. I think that
Florence,
is.
Y'all.
Florence, y'all. Very good. All right. My car is, let's see what this is. My car is pulling to the left. Any suggestions? I don't get it. I don't know what to do about that. I would go see.
Get your alignment.
Do we have any auto place advertising?
No, we don't. If you're an auto parts store or a mechanic.
I got my car done at Meineke. They were really good.
Well, if you're a mechanic and you want to advertise at the V Show or at ESPN Louisville, Nick V at ESPNLouisville.com for all your inquiries.
One last a text open here. I don't know what this is.
Poll's got 140 votes already.
Oh, good.
Right now it's 36% yes, 37% neither. Just NIL 16%, just the portal 11%.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. What?
No, those were the poll results. It's a good poll so far.
What poll? I don't know the poll.
The poll I just put up.
Texas, how can you derail a show that doesn't have rails?
That's a good point. As Tanner says, what are we, a train on water?
Train on water. Train somehow going forward, and I don't know how
this is
it's
the
working.
Texter who gets the show. Japanese whiskey, Nick. Why do you hate America? Thank you. Well said.
Yes.
Take a break. ESPN 680 1057.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.